Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of They Shoot Actors, Don't They? The podcast. Yeah. My name is Aaron, and I'm here with
Jeff
and
Kat.
And Jeff just got back from Fantasia Fest in Montreal, which is still going on.
Yep.
And actually had some big announcements today.
Yep.
Yeah, you saw a whack of stuff while you were there for the first week.
I did. The highlights were Park Chan-wook's Thirst.
Mm-hmm.
Played. That was the first North American screening.
And now I'm the only one of the three of us that hasn't seen it.
Yep.
Catch up already, huh?
When is it coming out in theaters? Like next week, isn't it?
It's next month.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Awesome.
Probably by next time we record the podcast. Cool.
I can catch up.
I really loved that. I thought it was a little bit unfocused. It could have been with some focusing in the script before it started shooting. There's a lot of elements that don't really seem necessary. It's like it's two or three different movies in one.
Oh, okay. I've heard one of the complaints is like, the end, not so good. Or a lot of people that are saying, like, first 20 minutes, last 20 minutes, amazing. But
that's the thing, though. Each section is amazing.
But it's just too much.
They really meld together.
It's true.
Oh, okay.
It's true. And I felt like there were one or two, like, strands of storyline that just weren't even necessary. It was already kind of a long film. But on the whole, still really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it was a lot more energetic and stylized than I expected it to be.
Oh, cool. I'm excited.
Then I saw Power Kids, which I just posted a little review of, which was pretty fun. It's just a bunch of Muay Thai kids going to rescue a heart that's supposed to be transplanted into their little friend, but the hospital that the heart is in is taken hostage by terrorists.
So they have to race across town before the heart is no longer viable for transplant and take it over. It sounds like, when I read the review, it sounds like children's Muay Thai Crank.
Kind of.
Yeah. But that sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
Nothing about that sounds bad.
Yeah, so that was very fun. And then near the beginning, there's a scene where they fight the drunken American, and it's amazing. He just stumbles in and he's like giving them the middle finger, being fuck you. And yeah, it's very good. They tie little steel rods to their arms. There's a lot of ball kicks.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That sounds like quality.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. That'll probably be a video release next year.
Well, yeah. Who knows? It might not get a domestic release, but it'll be on video in Thailand. You can get
an import. That's like with most of the stuff on Fantasia. You can't expect to see it in a theater.
Yeah, that's what makes Fantasia so good, is to see these films.
Exactly.
And sometimes the quality is not the greatest. They have like 150 features to program out of, and they're all genre.
And they're all genre stuff.
Yeah. So there's going to be a...
Yeah. But the crowds are awesome, though. Even for lackluster movies, the crowds are so fun at Fantasia.
Yeah.
I really love the Fantasia screenings.
And then...
Or at least I did. I haven't been in 5 years.
You should go.
I really want to go. I'm going to make it my business to go next year.
And I think the best thing that I saw, I ended up seeing it twice, just because I didn't know when I was going to be able to see it again, was the new Satoshi Miki film, who's the director of Adrift in Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
And it's got a lot of the same sort of finding out your father isn't who your father thought, who you thought he was, not knowing your father, that sort of thing. I don't know, to describe it, really, it would take up 5 minutes of the podcast, but it's excellent.
What is it called?
Instant Swamp.
Instant Swamp. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was my favorite.
And you guys, both loved Adrift in Tokyo.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it as well.
I still haven't seen that one yet either, but Instant Swamp sounds exciting.
Yeah. I'm going to be going to Fantasia for the last weekend, because it's like the longest festival ever.
It is so long.
Like 2.5, 3 weeks, or I don't know.
Of like full days of programming.
Almost a month of programming.
They added 2 days this year.
Yeah.
Well, we should say they just announced today, although this will be old hat by the time it's up, but they just announced a final day screening of Inglourious Basterds with Eli Roth in attendance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And final day screening of House of the Devil.
Yep.
Which
very
is
very exciting. That's
awesome to be able to yeah. like, you can pull that out while the festival's in full swing to still have that in your pocket.
Yeah.
Pretty wicked.
Yeah, that is pretty great.
So if you're in Montreal,
it's cool to see Inglourious Basterds getting some other festival play, because it's going to be opening
yeah.
in 2 weeks or whatever. So yeah. it's kind of neat, because that audience is going to be pretty psyched to see it, you know, yeah. a few weeks in advance of the official release. And
it's funny.
That should be fun.
I've read some Eli Roth haters being like, what's the point of going to that other than to throw something at Eli Roth? And it's like, whatever. Eli Roth is fun, and Eli Roth
is
like nerd
yeah.
god.
He's really
yeah,
fun
he
to
is
hear.
Nerd-tastic.
He's
Come
really
on.
Fun to hear talking about film. Like, he's like Quentin Tarantino like that. Whether you like him or not, to hear those guys talk about film, they're so enthusiastic that it's awesome. So yeah, that should be awesome. And seriously, if you're going to a bunch of stuff at Fantasia, how much are you going to complain about Eli Roth?
Yeah.
Like, the whether you like him or not, all the stuff is playing there. It's not Cabin Fever caliber.
Yeah. Yeah.
True story.
Big news today for us, which will be a few days old by the time this is online, but Midnight Madness announced their lineup for TIFF. As well as a few selections of the documentary program. And since our last podcast, there were also some gala mentions. But the thing we're most excited about, of course, Midnight Madness.
Yep.
Lineup this year. Really good.
Yep, looking pretty diverse. Pretty interesting.
Do we have a list of quick rundown of all the titles?
Yep.
Yeah.
The opening night is Jennifer's Body,
mm-hmm.
which is coming out a week later, but it's going to have a big red carpet.
Yeah. Megan
yeah.
Fox.
Megan
and,
Fox.
Like,
and
it'll be fun.
I think she's going to bring a Transformer.
Yes!
Shia LaBeouf is going to be there for whatever reason.
Oh, she should bring Michael Bay as her date.
That would be amazing.
You should bring Michael Bay, who transforms into Shia LaBeouf.
He actually
transforms
into my date.
You should Twitter invite him.
Spoiler alert.
The Belgian animation, a town called Panic.
Which looks amazing.
It looks hilarious.
Stop motion, cowboy and Indian, kind of like part Gumby, part Far Side kind of thing.
Yeah, like hilarious French. That's like really hilariously accented French.
It's just like, and a lot of it's just squeaky noise that you literally do not need to understand a word of French to
and
really enjoy.
And the main characters' names are Horse, Cowboy, and Indian.
Yep. So
who live together.
Guess what they look like.
That one should be a lot of fun, though.
I heard that there was, like, a British comedian's, like, dub being done for the film.
Yeah,
by Aardman.
Yeah, which is probably going to be pretty
okay.
funny, but it's also, like, the original is so hilarious.
Yeah.
It really doesn't need it. Like, you can find the TV show episodes that the movie is based on YouTube and stuff, and they're just like, you really don't need to speak French.
No.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really, the language in it is minimal to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it's just slapstick stuff, but, yeah. That should be really fun.
There's Bitch Slap, which is by the creators of Xena and Hercules.
It's very like, obviously by the creators of Xena and Hercules. Them doing, like, it's Xena and Hercules creators doing a remake of Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Pretty much,
kind of,
yeah.
With explosions and,
like,
lots of, like, the Sin City kind of aesthetic. Lots of green screening and comic book framing and...
Hilarious slow-mo... Boob-related
so
scenes.
Much boob.
A lot of boob.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, that should be fun.
There's Daybreakers, the new Scary Brothers movie.
I've never seen their first film, actually.
Undead is great.
The trailer for Daybreakers looks amazing, and it's like Sam Neill looks so wicked as some sort of crazy bad guy. Everyone in the movie is a vampire, it seems like, so it's not like
a
spoiler to say that he's a vampire because they're all vampires.
Yeah,
but...
Daybreakers is set, I think it's 20 years in the future, in which an infection has basically turned most of the population into vampires, and they're running out of a food supply. And Ethan Hawke stars as a hematologist who's trying to create a fake blood.
Yeah.
And Sam Neill runs the company he works for. But like,
and Willem Dafoe was in it. Yeah, yeah, it looks really good. And the trailer just makes it look super slick, like visually really cool.
It looks awesome. The world is very complete. It feels like a really full world, which is important. And yeah, it's awesome. And Undead was great, but Undead was done with a very, very limited budget. You can tell this one is considerably less modest, and it shows. It's wicked.
Yeah, and since I'm going to get to see it so soon, I've avoided the trailer for that twice now. I had, they showed it in front of a movie at Fantasia, and I looked at my lap.
and hoped the people wouldn't think you were being a pussy.
Yep. Vampires.
Yeah, it's worth avoiding. It's worth avoiding the trailer, I think.
Yeah. Then there's the new George Romero of the Dead film, which I don't think the title had been announced until today, which is Survival of the Dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until today, it was ..
Of the Dead.
Which is also kind of a cool title, but
yeah.
Survival of the Dead.
Well, this one is like Hatfields versus McCoys post zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a great premise, I think.
I'm really excited about this one, and I haven't been excited about a Romero zombie film in a long time. But this is like a fresh take. This, you know, it looks like he now really is in the position where he can do something new with this world rather than kind of retread it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. But I'm more hopeful about this one than I was by the last couple by a considerable margin.
And then there's, this is a long list. Anyways, there's an Australian film called The Loved Ones, which is sort of just an out of nowhere film that I'm really excited about.
It's like a prom, like a high school prom horror kind of thing.
The note describes it as Pretty in Pink meets Misery.
That's a good combo.
I'm into that.
If it's anything like Acolytes was last year, then
Acolytes was amazing.
The Australians a thumbs up on that one. That was probably my favorite one last year. So
Australia's I'm hoping the that new there's France.
Some sort of yeah, exactly.
I looked on IMDb and the director apparently was an additional director on The Secret.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird.
Which is kind of funny since the Dead Girl directors last year had written a book about con artists or something? Or how to con people?
Yeah, con people, that's true.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all coming together.
All the douchebags coming in that madness year after year. And there's Ong Bak 2.
Of course, yeah.
The Beginning.
The
its
Beginning.
New subtitle.
Yeah, that looks...
In order to make sense of the completely unrelated sequel.
Looks incredible.
Looks really fun.
Everybody who's awesome. Listening to this knows what it is.
Yeah, we don't need
chop,
to explain.
Chop, knees, elephants.
Yeah, chop, socky with knees.
The North American premiere of Wreck 2.
Yep.
Pretty excited about that. Really
liked Wreck. Oh, Wreck was one of the best. Wreck is up there with The Descent in terms of really amazing horror movies of the last 10 years, I think.
And it's apparently a sequel that takes place like 15 minutes after the last movie ended, so it's not going to be like a wildly different storyline. Yeah. It's kind of going to be, I'm guessing, another crew, you know, SWAT team or whatever going into the same building, but I suspect that it's going to be super awesome.
I love the way they managed to keep the same aesthetic as Wreck, which is super important, by having soldiers going into the building to try and contain things all have helmet-mounted cameras, and that the picture bounces back and forth between these different police soldiers, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks
It's
amazing.
A very smart way to keep the aesthetic, but also allow yourself to move the perspective around and not be tied
Yeah,
to
rather
this,
than
like,
having
ridiculous
another
sort
reporter
of...
team.
Yeah, exactly.
The sister of the reporter picks up her camera. Yeah. I must finish my sister's show.
I've got to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. That's what Quarantine 2 is going to be.
Then there's Solomon Kane, which is from the director of Wilderness.
And Death Watch. Yeah,
Death
Michael Bassett.
I haven't seen. Yeah.
Death Watch is really, it's like Hellraiser in a trench. But we're both big fans of Wilderness. And,
I haven't seen it.
Oh, they're really good. But both Wilderness and Death Watch are like micro-budget, really small-scale movies. So him being able to do huge epics. Solomon Kane is based on the Edgar Rice Burroughs character, same guy who did Conan. And I've only seen a couple stills, but they're stills in like these epic sets.
Yeah, there hasn't been any footage released so far, but they're showing some footage at Comic-Con this weekend.
Oh, excellent. Really?
Okay. Also at Comic-Con, they're showing footage of the new Tetsuo film.
Right.
Oh. Tsukamoto is going to be there to
show. Oh, like it.
There's so much good stuff happening at Comic-Con.
Yeah, Comic-Con has become the film taste-making event.
It's weird.
Yeah.
There's a panel of John Lasseter, Miyazaki, and Patton Oswalt.
What? Come on.
Oh, man.
That's really good.
And the panel is called Stuff Jeff Likes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very cool.
And the final Midnight Madness film is Symbol by Hitoshi Matsumoto, who did Dainippo Jin or Big Man Japan.
That played at TIFF a couple years ago.
Yeah. 07? Yeah. That's the one that had the, 20-second teaser or whatever it was
online. Of the
online.
Little CGI cherubs.
Creepy cherubs coming out of the walls of the dude in the pajamas.
Which is a very good
pretty
teaser.
Pretty exciting.
I haven't seen his prior film.
It's very good. And Matsumoto got his start doing, the Beat Takeshi comedy stuff.
Yeah, he's a big TV star in Japan.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Free TIFF. But, yeah, the one that I'm really excited for at this point is Solomon Kane. I think is the one that I'm just looking forward to being surprised by because I really love Michael J. Bassett. And this is supposed to be a trilogy as well. That's what he's hoping.
Oh, yeah. You know what? So is Bitch Slap. It's supposed to be a trilogy. No jokes.
I'm less intrigued by that.
That's what the...
Aaron hates boobs.
Yeah. Blech, yuck.
Three movies worth of boobs.
I'm going to catch girl germs if I watch more than 90 minutes.
I'd rather a trilogy of Conan.
Yeah, give me boobs on men. That's what this guy likes.
Who doesn't?
So the... Oh,
that was weird.
I can edit out your who doesn't.
No, it's not that that I... whole section. I'm apologizing.
So what else was announced today was a selection of the documentary films that are playing at TIFF.
Yep.
Some things I'm not so into. Some things I'm really into. I think...
things he's so into.
Some things I'm... slightly more into than others. Some things I've got six levels of into. I'm going to walk you through them. I think the one I'm most excited about is, I cannot remember his name right now, but the dude who did Rock School a few years ago is coming back with a doc that I think is called The Art of Stealing. It is about a huge post-impressionist art collector who died and basically the orchestrated ripoff of his work from his estate following his death, which I just think content-wise is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The new Chris Smith could be good, the guy that did American Movie. Do you remember the name of that one?
I don't, actually.
I have a list.
Look that shit up.
While Ken is looking it up, the one I'm most excited for is Clean Flicks, which is about the Utah Mormons who take restricted films and edit them.
Making them available to specialty video stores and mail order and stuff. Edit out sex and violence. Outside of Passion of the Christ, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
Passion of the Christ is 10 minutes long. Yeah, that one looks really interesting. The new Chris Rock doc.
Yeah.
Which is called...
Good Hair, I think it's
good
called.
Good Hair, yeah. About black people's hair and the view of it.
Because his daughter one day asked him, "Daddy, why don't I have good hair?"
And he was like, "Damn, I gotta make her a film to help her understand.
I'm gonna explain this thoroughly.
I have $1 billion. This will be a good father-daughter project." Yes, and if it wasn't for Chris Rock, I probably wouldn't have any interest in it. But with Chris Rock, I really want to see it because it will guaranteed be funny.
Chris Rock brings us all together. But also announced the week before today, I think.
Yes.
Last week. In layman's terms. Last week or 2 weeks ago, something like that. They announced other titles at TIFF, and they announced The Gala, which is the Charles Darwin biopic. Yeah.
Darwin, starring Paul Bettany.
And Jennifer Connelly. Real life married couple, Paul Bettany and Jennifer Connelly.
Really?
As a movie married couple, Charles Darwin and Mrs.
Darwin.
Some have said I look like
Lady
Paul
Darwin.
Lady Darwin.
Yeah. Email Jeff at theyshouldactorsdon'tthey.com.
If you look like Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Man, they're going, I want to marry their kids.
Soon enough. but the big exciting announcement of the films they announced for the in that section or
in that
press release,
in that pack
is Bong Joon-ho's Mother.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see that.
I think maybe the film I'm looking most forward to seeing this year.
Yeah,
is that a gala as well?
Nope, I think it's a special presentation. Okay.
They announced a few galas and a few special presentations. I think at that first press conference, and that was definitely the one that I was most excited by. And Valhalla Rising, was announced. I'm
what is that? The Viking movie by.
What's his name? It's the Pusher Trilogy guy.
Yeah, the guy who did the Pusher Trilogy and Bronson.
Yeah.
His new Viking epic, which looks...
We're the worst movie nerds. We don't know anyone's names.
And apparently a complete inability to write things down or keep a computer open.
Look, guys, this is a freewheeling podcast. This is some sort of scripted...
Do you want us to be tight or do you want us to be drunk?
Please say drunk.
But that, the trailer for that is out, and it looks awesome.
That's the one with Mads Mikkelsen, right? Yeah, it looks really
very,
fun.
Very good.
So it's like Conan with Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yes!
Real life Conan.
And he has his tongue cut out. Or his tongue cut out. That was ironic.
that'll be really good. Oh, and... Also worth mentioning, along with that initial press release, they also announced lower prices for the special presentations and galas, I believe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Different uses of multi-ticket books, so you're not going to be shut out of the big gala presentations when you lay down $300 on tickets, which is really smart.
Yeah.
And they've also guaranteed if you get a gala or special presentation ticket, lead actors or directors will be there.
That's good.
Which is very good. Because I remember when we went to go see The Good, The Bad, The Weird the other year.
Yeah.
It was the day after the gala, special presentation in the Elgin. Tickets were still like $25.
They were maybe, they were
$25.
And
none of the cast or crew stuck around for the day after the gala. It's like, and there were a bunch of like, Korean kids in that audience.
Just waiting to see them.
Yeah, and to spend that money for a ticket for a quote-unquote special presentation, for it to be no different than if you saw it at Scotiabank, but it's twice as much, that has to be infuriating.
Definitely. And everything's happening earlier this year. Like, the program book is coming out a bit sooner than usually does.
That's good.
They're locking, excellent.
Yeah. They're locking everything
a lot
earlier
this year.
It's actually
great. It gives you a chance to sort of, like, not have to do everything at the last minute.
Because ordering tickets with like a day or two to pick your schedule, talk to your friends, be like, okay, what are you seeing? Here's what I'm seeing.
Well, and if you're going to a lot of stuff, it's no short amount of time to sit down and wait through that book and figure out your schedule. So some people have jobs out here.
Boring.
Another thing that was announced today, which is awesome, is that they have the Cadillac People's Choice Award has been extended to include a People's Choice Award for the documentary films
and for the Midnight Madness
films, which is great because those are programs that don't have a hope in hell against Slumdog Millionaire and those things that are playing the fest,
but they're both programs that have a really loyal audience.
Exactly, there's
really
people that
films,
every
so
year there's
great.
People that just go to the Midnight Madness stuff,
exactly,
and that are
so.
Rabid fans. But you know, 1,000 people going to one screening at the Ryerson doesn't match up to all the people going to see Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. And I think that the way that they're calculating it is whatever midnight film or whatever, documentary film comes up first in the overall voting. Like, so people fill out the ballots as they normally would.
An average rating? Is that the...
No, it's like the top, like, it's the top rated film from those programs, but the votes are taken out of the regular...
Okay.
General audience choice voting.
Okay. So they still fill out the still same have a ballot. Chance to
yeah. yeah, they do still have a chance to win the real award.
Oh,
so
that's good. I didn't know that.
If, you know, if whatever, something out of
so
the
they're not ghettoizing them.
All right, guys.
Yeah. No, it's still
everyone
part of the same
vote
thing.
Vote for symbol. People's choice. Sweet.
Let's rig this now.
I'm getting for Daybreakers to win the overall fest.
It can happen. Ethan Hawke is still kind of cute.
It could never, ever happen.
It won't happen.
Well, you know what? I could tell that Daybreakers was good because you're not drawn to Ethan Hawke's hatchet mouth. And it's the first movie he's been good in a long time. But yeah.
Oh, there's could also... this be a sequel to Before Sunrise?
20 years later, the romance has soured, and also the entire world's population is vampires.
The day breaks, their romance has ended.
Before sunrise, judgment. Of course, as we have the last couple of years, theyshootactorsdontthey.com will be covering TIFF again, covering lots of stuff for Midnight Madness, and as well, Jeff.
Yep, I'm going to be a blogger on the TIFF site. I was last year for Midnight Madness, too. So, yeah, that'll be extra of us.
Yeah.
If you don't get enough of us on our own site, and that... also check Jeff out on the TIFF site.
And we're going to be recording daily podcasts at TIFF.
You know what, actually, guys? There's this, like...
I was lying.
Let's not actually make a plan to do that or promise anybody anything. But I was looking at... Googling one of the films from Midnight Madness last year and came across this like blog that these dudes do that I can't remember the name of now, but they did daily video podcasts every day after Midnight Madness just by standing in Young Dundas Square with a video camera at the end of the film, like at 2 a.m. every day. Nope. Like, we're super tired. Here's our capsule review. Bah. And some of them were kind of bad because they obviously were exhausted and it was like a bad idea to do anything other than go to bed. But it was kind of a fun idea, like a fun little challenge if you're going to be in every single film.
Yeah,
like,
let's steal hardcore. That. Let's steal that. Let's
totally swipe that idea.
Let's shoot it on a better camera. Fill those fucks up.
We're totally better looking than those guys.
We're doing
cameras.
The same thing beside them. You'll see them in the background, but we'll be shooting with a red. Of course, we'll be talking a lot more about this as TIFF nears, and we'll have all the links on our site. But I imagine we'll probably be making an effort to do... probably more than just one podcast over that time.
Yeah,
we'll
probably. For sure, stuff. Yeah.
Be nice to do a couple. Anyways, that's a couple months from now.
Yeah. Fix of the week.
My pick of the week on Sunday the 26th is a return of the Right Stuff programming to the Bloor Cinema. There's going to be a double bill of Army of Darkness and Team America, World Police, hosted by Edgar Wright and
Bill Pope.
And Bill Pope, the cinematographer on those movies, and the Spider-Man movies and the Matrix movies, who's also cinematographer on the new Scott Pilgrim movie that Edgar Wright is directing. And we've talked about the Right Stuff programming before. This is like, well, I don't know if there'll maybe be another one after this, but they're tons of fun. And this one should be rad. But yeah, it'll be both movies with a Q&A following each. And
I think after the second film, there's going to be like a half-hour interview with Bill Pope.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. Very I didn't know that. Jeffrey?
My pick of the week is on Friday the 24th of July at the Royal at 11:30 p.m. They're showing Tommy Wiseau's The Room. Yep. I haven't seen it. It's apparently... the worst.
Yeah, it's... I think most people know for, like, a handful of unwatchable clips on the internet. Tim and Eric co-directed an episode with him that parodied a bunch of scenes. or not even parody, just straight recreated a bunch of scenes with the same delivery. But I haven't seen it either, and I wanted to see it, and then caught wind that it might be happening at the Royal
Scene. Actually, I think this is going to be the first of, I don't know how many, but it's going to be monthly screenings. I think it's going to do really well, so.
I'm sure it will. That's the kind of thing that, well, you know, beats the fuck out of Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
That'll be really fun. What date was that again?
The 24th of July, Friday.
Okay, awesome. Pat?
My pick of the week, and I hope I don't completely mangle the pronunciation, is Comeback-ish.
Try it again.
Try it less racist this time.
Damn it, I can't.
Cool it with the giggles, white pride.
So, Comeback-ish is the Bollywood film that's out right now. It's playing at the AMC in Toronto and a bunch of other places actually around the suburbs. That is a Bollywood film, but stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone and a couple of others.
It's about a romance between like an Indian songstress and a famous stuntman, Bollywood stuntman.
Something like
that. Denise Richards is also in it.
Oh my god.
Amazing. Yeah.
The trailer looks the craziest.
Yeah.
Looks like the craziest.
Yeah.
Rom-com.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. I've read a couple, like, brief Twittered things about how amazing it is, but I don't know if I have the patience to go check it out in the theater, but I'm curious.
I don't know what the running time is, but...
I'm sure it's at least 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, undoubtedly, right? But if, I mean, for your birthday when we went to see...
Shandy Chow to China.
Yeah, that was like a 3-hour Bollywood extravaganza. Yeah,
they do not care for short movies.
No? So it was so fun, though. I feel like if this is even half as fun as that movie, it's going to be totally worth
it. And it's the star, I think, of Candy Chalk, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
Oh,
I didn't know.
Look on your list. Take 5 minutes to find out.
We'll wait.
Okay, guys.
Look on your list. I meant her iPhone.
Look
on your list machine.
Check it out on your CompU abacus. Your electromole skin. I think we're done here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Can we just stop?
Is anyone even still listening?
Everybody go home.
My mom has this on like 20% volume while she vacuums.
I'm so sorry.
That's the only one still listening at this point.
I'm sorry, Aaron's mom.
All right, well, we'll be back in a couple weeks with some news about Toronto After Dark Festival, I believe.
Yep.
Although I recall at the last podcast, all the things we'd said we'd talk about this podcast, we didn't even mention.
Nope.
What were they?
We didn't go see The Cove, and I didn't go see Sugar.
And I didn't go see Public Enemies. Although I did see Sugar.
I didn't see Transformers yet either.
Oh, jeez.
I haven't seen Transformers yet either.
Well, yeah.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. I love Michael Bay.
I know. But
yeah,
I was in Montreal for a week and seeing stuff at Fantasia, and I was like... I was possibly going to go see Transformers, but I went and saw Bruno first. And I didn't want to sit through a second potentially bad movie back-to-back. Mm. So.
Oh, yeah, we can close this off with a quick capsule review. Don't go see Bruno.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone is at this point.
Oh, that's true.
It had like a 70% drop from opening weekend.
That's true.
Harsh. In the meantime, I did find out that, indeed, the guy from Chandy Chow is also the guy in Comeback-ish. And he stars not only with Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and Denise Richards, but also Carmen Electra.
Whoa.
Can your iPhone order me a ticket right now?
Actually, probably, yeah.
If they're less than $100, I will take one. So there you go, Mom. Worth the wait. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye, Aaron's mom.
Bye.
Bye.